today. What is special in the Christian calendar about today? Well, we all know what today is so special about because he's mentioned it. It's what? What is today? Palm Sunday, yes. Come on, Luke. Where's your Bible? He's going to start us off with a reading, is Luke, from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. Come to the front, please. Come on.
And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, they sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say out unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughters of Sion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, and a foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put them their clothes, and they set him thereupon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? All the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee.
Thank you. Well done. His very act, Jesus' very act of riding on a donkey, as Andrew has already mentioned, not only showed the coming to pass of a prophecy, but it was also a sign of Jesus' kingship as well. And it's shown in these, I'm going to show you some from Zechariah. I've got it on acetate for you in case you can't write it down very quickly. The first one is Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And it's also mentioned in Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And Psalm 118, verse 26 says, Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. It's all word that's referring back to the return of King David's kingdom, because of what was spoken by God in 2 Samuel chapter 7. So if you find that with me, please. It's all going back to the prophecies. You see, to the crowd, Jesus was the long-awaited liberator of the Jewish people. Israel at this time was controlled by Rome, and it was considered an insignificant outpost of the vast, mighty Roman Empire. The presence of Roman soldiers in Israel gave military peace, but it came at a price, and that price was oppression, slavery, and injustice. Yeah. And the people of Israel were eagerly awaiting for someone who would deliver them. And if we look in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 to 14, this is the scripture that the Jews held on to very much so for this promised Messiah. So from verse 12 it goes, And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, that's talking about King David, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. And that was what was going to happen to Jesus at the cross. Before he went up to the cross, he was stripped, he was beaten with a rod, and also the crown of thorns was beaten into his head. So there's the people of Israel when he's coming, entering into Jerusalem, believing, here is the chosen Messiah. But you know, there was a problem, because their narrow thinking blinded them. Because whilst they were seeking an earthly king, like King David, to rule over land, they completely missed God's greater plan, which was sending an heavenly king who would reign over people's lives and whose kingdom would know no end. And you know, today, even today, the significance of Christ, the anointed one, and his work on the cross can be lost. Now we have, where's Mackenzie? Where's Ebony? Are they around, Carol? Right. Is it just Ebony? Right, Daniel, will you help Ebony? Give these out, please. You're all going to receive a palm cross. And whilst this has been given out, go and help Daniel. Come and help Daniel, Ebony, please. Come on, sweetheart. That's a good girl. You'll be with Daniel. Go on. I want you to take these palm crosses, and I want you to place them somewhere where you'll see it every day. And I want you to be reminded of what is going to be shared, what God is speaking to you today, because the message I've got today, I really feel God has brought it for a special reason. Amen. You see, this is what happened to my palm cross. As I took it, look what happened to it. It became a lot shorter. But you know, this is a symbol. And if we've got some mathematicians in the house today, haven't we, Philip? Haven't we, Helen? And this sign in maths is a symbol of what? Plus. Yeah, that's all right. Come on, Grace, I like to hear people. Plus. It's addition. It's more. Right? It's a symbol of more. And that is what God in Christ has done for us through Jesus. We've come into so many benefits, so much more of a plus. And today, church, I want to encourage you to press through and see the plus factor of God in your lives. Now, this message, it came about, it all started at the joint prayer service last Wednesday. And I was sharing with somebody, and they were saying how they regret that they could not get back their wasted years of their life. And immediately the Spirit of God rose up in me, and I said out loud that God restores with the years the locusts have eaten. I couldn't remember where the scripture had come from, but it came straight out. And it left such an impression on me that night that I actually looked it up. It's in Joel. But then 2 days later, Daniel, at his lodgings in Sheffield, they had a break-in, and all the laptops were stolen. And God spoke to me clearly again, and he led me to this scripture. And it's in Isaiah 42. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith restore. You know, this is the description of today's Christians. Robbed and spoiled. Stolen goods and emotions are trod on. Snared in holes. Pressured and lack keeping God's people back. Hidden in prison houses. Doesn't that sound like disease and sickness overwhelming God's people?
Yeah.
What is the answer? Declaring, restore. Now when you declare, the definition of declare is giving a deliberate statement, pronouncing emphatically, announcing formally as resolved upon. The devil is stealing from the body of Christ, and we're just giving up and letting him do it without fighting. Yeah. But that's not what the cross is about. No. The cross is about restoration above and beyond what we can imagine or think. King David had the same problem. The problems we have is just no different to what David had. So if you look up to 1 Samuel chapter 30, we're going to read about David. We're going to read how he went through a similar situation, but what the solution that he had for it, that's an example to us today. But we're in a better position because we've got Christ. He has fulfilled all the promises, and we can call on him. Amen. Now in 1 Samuel 30, David and his men are returning from battle to find that their homes have been burnt down to the ground. The enemy had taken their wives and their children. Now come on, if anybody's going to be depressed, David had quite a reason for it, because he was the leader. He'd got men behind him who were looking up to him. And they returned to find that it had all been taken. So have you got into 1 Samuel 30? Right, we're going to look from verse 4 to 6. And it goes like this. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive. Aonam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Amen. Right in the middle of distress, right in the middle of overwhelming circumstances, David stopped and said, hey, wait a minute. I don't have to put up with this. He started to change his thinking. We need to get to that point of making up our mind that we're not staying as we are anymore. And it's time for us to encourage ourselves in the Lord. So if you go down to verse 8, David inquires of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him. And what did God say to him? Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Amen. And that is what I feel God is telling us today. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. There's things in our lives that we need to recover that we've lost over the years. Proverbs 6 verse 31 tells us that if a thief is caught, he has to pay back sevenfold. So the boy that's stolen the laptops has to pay back sevenfold what he has stolen. That's God's rule. It's a pity we don't bring it into law, because I tell you something, those that steal will think twice about stealing. It's time the devil was made to pay back for what he's stolen off us. In order to do this, we've got to stop being preoccupied with our problems and instead be expectant and listening for God's answer. Yeah. Isaiah 42 verse 9 tells us, see, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. You've got to be in a place of expectancy. You've got to be anticipating something new is going to happen. Amen. Even when you've caught off guard. Amen. To receive the plus factor in your life, it requires speaking out loud. Amen. Restore. Even though life has got you down, get speaking God's positive in your life. Make a determination you're not going to speak negative. Remember, I've said this before, pessimism. It kills creativity. It kills passion. It takes your energy and it kills your confidence. And it's true because in school, I've been starting against all the negativity to speak positively. And if I start to talk negative, I just shut up. And do you know, we're seeing a difference. I'm seeing a difference in the class that I work in. It's hard work. It's not easy forever wanting to say the positive. You get worn out. But the fact is, it changes the atmosphere. So do not allow yourselves to join in on negative conversations that are contrary to what you believe. Remember, I've said this once, and it's come up again. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But the thinking in the heart, this in the heart, has to start up here in the mind. The responsibility is on you to renew your mind with the word of God. When you're saved, you're a new creation, but your mind isn't. Renewing of the mind is a daily progression. Do you know, I wish somebody told me this when I first got saved. It's taken me years to have to find this out. But renewing of the mind is a daily progression and begins when you saturate yourself with the word of God, when you decide that you're going to speak positively and not negatively. Now, there's a little exercise I've got for you all to do at home, because you've all got thinking in your mind. You've accepted in your thinking why you shouldn't be successful or why you can't be prosperous. Now, here's some excuses that we make up. One, we've not got enough education. Two, we've not got enough money. Three, we've not got enough time. Four, we've got bad childhood experiences. Maybe we have, but you've got to move on. Five, abused. Listen, Joyce Meyer was a person that was abused as a child by her father. But she says, I had a choice. I could either stay and keep going, hanging on to it, or I could move on. And she found from God that, as far as he's concerned, she is a new creature in Christ, and she moved on. You can break away from that.
Yes.
You're born on the wrong side of town. I've heard that said. Some of the kids that that come to my school, they're told, you're born on the wrong side of town. You're born on the side where there's the worst side of town. You get, you know, there's a stigma there. You're born to the wrong family. You're born at the wrong time. Or you could have been told, you were a mistake. You were, you know, parents, you were a mistake. God says otherwise. And once you make your list and you compare what God says about you and you decide you're going to believe what God's positive word has to say, then something happens in your life. It's called tearing down the strongholds in your mind. And we've been over this once. You know, you have to hear something 15 times for it to take hold in yourself. And if it's going to take me 15 times to stand at the front here and say to you all, we need to start battling with our minds and tearing down the stinking thinking. I wish Andrew would get that sermon he did that time. The fella in the cellar taking over from the fanatic in the attic, because it's so powerful. Do not be conformed, Romans 12:2, to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world is heading for disaster. The world is on a landslide to death. Going out binge drinking, drugs, you name it, what they're up to, illicit sex, the lot, you name it, it's going down one road. But God has a plan for your life. He wants to give you a full life.
Yes.
But the thing is that tomorrow morning, don't get offended. Having heard all this and you're saying restore and you're looking at that, you're looking at the plus factor. If Satan steals something else, the worst thing you can do is be offended at God.
Yeah.
Offended at his word or offended at the messenger who brought you the message. What you ought to do is get mad at the devil.
Yeah.
He's the thief, not God. It says in Scripture, God is the Father of lights. that God gives good gifts to his children, that God is not a man that he should lie. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 is another scripture about God speaking, saying, "For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Too often we look at God like the Roman god Zeus. We think when things are going great, God is smiling on us. But when things start happening bad, then he's got his stick out and he's beating us. For goodness sake, get rid of that mentality. That is not the God in here. Get rid of the religious thought. Tear it down. God said he's got thoughts of peace and not an evil, to give you an expected end, to give you a future.
Amen.
In some translations, that last part says, to give you a future and a hope.
Yeah.
That's another plus of the cross. It's restoration.
Amen.
The dictionary definition of restoration is this: to bring back to a former or original condition. Well, you know, folks, I've got news for you. That's not the Bible definition of restoration. Because his definition of restoration is to make better, to improve, to increase, to multiply. Primary school, we teach them what is math, what is multiplication? Faster addition. So the Bible has got a plus plus factor to it. Yes? If Satan is stealing something from you, God's idea is restoration. It's not to bring you to a former condition. He's going to make the devil pay, and you're going to wind up improved, better, increased, and multiplied.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
Look at Abraham. Look at Job. Don't just look at the first bit of Job. Don't just look at the middle bit of Job. Look at the end. He was doubled everything that he'd lost.
Amen.
You're so special that God thinks about you all the time. Oh, but you don't know what I've done in my life. Do you know, it does not matter.
Amen.
When God looks at you, he's looking at you through the blood of Jesus, and he sees somebody he loves very much.
Amen.
And he's got great plans for your life. It's so important for you to grasp hold of the love God has for you, because then you can't call yourself worthless, you can't call yourself a nobody,
no.
And you can't call yourself a worm in his sight.
No.
No way. His love has made you righteous. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're the ones that limit God. He wants you to increase and increase more and more. Because his name is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo.
Amen.
You know, El Shaddai means the breasty one, the all-fulfilling one. His nature's to bless us, because that's his nature. He can't help it. And it's up to you, church, to declare restore
Amen.
Over your house.
Yep.
To declare God's word over the situations where the devil's stolen from you. God has stolen from my family, and I'm already beginning to say restore.
Amen.
God has stolen out of Andrew and Grace's and finances, but it's time to shout restore. Joan, Jackie, restore. Ken and Pauline, restore. Edwin, your eyesight, restore. Restore either. You know, Joe, Pat, restore health. Restore the years that you've lost out.
Amen.
Dorma, restore. Give those finances for Salome Ministries. Jonathan, restore that job that you're needing. Bill, restore those years that when you had illness. Same for you, Graham. Restore health to you, Philly, and what you're wanting. All the job opportunities, the finances we've lost. Carol, the past. Restoring things that have been lost. Restoring things, Lynn, that you've lost. Restoring things, you're like restoring the years the locusts have eaten. To each and everyone, to you, Tony and Michelle and the rest of you. To you, John, your health and all the years that you've lost as well. Yes? Have I missed anybody out? Restoring to you, Evan, even. Helen, restoring to you all those years you've looked after all those people.
Amen.
It's the time to shout, restore.
Yeah.
You know, in Ephesians, it says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Get into God's plus factor.
Amen.
Get rid of your limitations. Start expecting restoration as never before, so that you in turn can bless others. Oh, I miss my own sons. Daniel, that laptop is going to be restored and your MP3 player. Luke, you're going to have things restored. Yes?
Yes.
Ephesians. God can do anything far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. And for some of you, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, then don't delay any longer.
Amen.
Restoration begins by making him Lord of your life today.
Yeah.
So that when you die, you'll enter into the presence of God in heaven.
Amen.
So if there's anybody here today that doesn't know the Lord, come on out and we'll pray for you. But for the rest of us, every day when you look at this, shout out, restore. Look for God's word. That one I keep saying is, restore the years the locusts have eaten, Lord.
Yeah.
Restore it back.
Amen.
Restore those finances. The thief has been found and he's got to pay back sevenfold all that he's stolen of my family.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Relationships. There's relationships that need restoration.
Amen.
Yeah? And that is what Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday wasn't just about Jesus entering Jerusalem.
Mm.
It's about the plus factor.
Amen.
It was about what was happening at the cross and after the cross and ongoing.
Mm.
So don't be like the Israelites who only were thinking so blindly at an earthly king for an earthly kingdom. Look at a spiritual king who's got the plus factor in his mind for your life and for mine.
Praise
God. Let's just bow our heads in prayer.
Notes last night, and I was really blessed by this that I'd written some years ago, and it's the scripture where Paul says, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. But suffering doesn't mean, in that context, suffering means if we don't back down. And I thought, wow, God, if we'll stand our ground and not be moved by what we see, if we refuse to back down, we shall reign with him in that situation. So let's do it. Amen.
Amen. That's right. Not back him down. If you say,
been so thrilled with today.
Amen.
I like to preach actually on Easter Sunday, but you know, when you start looking at the story of the lead up to Easter Sunday, when you start looking at the lead up to the death of our Lord Jesus and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, it's just as exciting.
It is. Thank you.
And and I know Zena has tried to share so much with you today, and it's exciting.
It is.
What God wants to do in your life and in my life.
Amen.
And one of the things that as I was reading today about what Jesus did. And this is from John's Gospel. And it just starts in John chapter 11. Where Jesus is told about his really one of his best friends, Lazarus. He's a rich man. Lazarus had supported the ministry of Jesus. He'd helped keep his ministry going. He'd helped keep him on the road. And suddenly he died. And it says that Jesus wept for him. And Jesus waited 3 days. And Lazarus was dead for 3 days. Now in Israel, in those sort of temperatures, after 3 days, the body starts to stink. It starts to decay. And Jesus turns up on the third day. And one of the sisters says to him, you know, Jesus, if you'd have only been here a few days ago, My brother wouldn't have died. That's right, amen. And Jesus said to her, have faith. Have faith. And Jesus asked, where's the tomb? And there were a lot of people knew Lazarus because, as I say, he was a rich man. And obviously he was a generous man.
Yeah.
He'd given a lot away. And people had come to show their respects. And they'd come to his funeral, if you want. Well, let me tell you this. Jesus doesn't come to funerals to bury people. Jesus comes to funerals to make them so that they live.
Amen.
Jesus likes to turn things upside down. So Jesus turns up on the scene on that third day that this guy's stinking to high heaven now. Nobody wants to open the tomb. And Jesus says, roll the stone away.
Praise God.
And said, Master, you can't do that. He'll stink. Jesus does not care an ounce about whether you stink or not.
No.
What Jesus cares about is the fact that you need eternal life.
Yeah. God.
That you need Jesus as your Lord and Saviour.
Yeah.
And so Jesus says, roll that stone away.
Yes.
And so they rolled it away. And then Jesus begins to call out his name, Lazarus. Says, Lazarus!
Yeah.
Come out! I'm nearly losing my voice after all that singing. Now, Grace and I have been to Israel, and we've been to the place that is supposed to be Lazarus' tomb. Yeah. Now then, Lazarus was bound from head to toe. A bit like a mummy. They'd wrapped him round. Right? Now this tomb that we went in has two levels. And it goes round in a spiral to get to the bottom. Is that right?
Yes.
And the grave where he was placed, he was in the bottom bit. It's enough trouble for anybody that's reasonably fit to get down and get back up. Not like this. So when Jesus called out his name, how he got up them steps, I have no idea. In reality. Because, you know, I mean, can you hop up? I mean, it's going to take some effort. And this guy's dead. Or was dead. But somehow, when Jesus spoke that word, Lazarus, come out, some divine power took hold of him.
Amen.
And picked him up.
Yeah.
And brought him out and stood him outside. And Jesus says, loose him. Let him go.
Amen.
And today Jesus wants to loose each and every one of us from our grave clothes. Lazarus was wrapped in grave clothes. He was wrapped and basically that said, he's dead.
Yes.
One of his sisters believed, he's dead. And she believed that one day she'd see him, but she believed she'd see him in heaven. Well, Jesus turned that around. And this was probably, at this time, this was the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performed. A guy that's been dead for 3 days. His flesh is now even rotting. His blood's set in his body. His brain is decaying. It's mush. He'll have no memory. You know, they say that even if you die and you're in freezing cold water, they've got probably about 30 minutes or so probably to be able to get you back, and so there's been nothing wrong with your brain. Don't they? This guy's been dead 3 days in a red hot country. And yet Jesus calls him out and unwraps his clothes. And you know, if you read the story, you go on through that story, the people, the church leaders of that day, who were ministers in the temple, they were planning to kill Lazarus because he was like, hey, this said that God is real.
Mm.
That this Jesus is the Son of God.
He is.
Wow. Do you know what Jesus said to his disciples? He says, greater works shall you do in my name. You shall heal the sick. You shall cast out demons. You shall raise the dead in my name. This is the story that leads up to the crucifixion of Jesus. He's done all these great things, and as I said right at the beginning, we started to sing. And Jesus is coming into Jerusalem and everybody's celebrating. Do you know why they were celebrating? They're celebrating because one, they heard about Lazarus and how Jesus had raised him from the dead. They'd heard all the other stories how Jesus had fed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. They'd heard all these stories. They'd seen Jesus healing people. He'd raised a man from total death, from total rotting and decay. And they said, this is the King. This is the Messiah. This is the one who's going to deliver us, as she was saying, from the hands of the Romans. Going to set us free. And they celebrated it. You know, people are fickle. A few days later, they're saying, give us that thief! Crucify Jesus! We don't want him! People change like that. Don't they? Have you noticed your friends do that now and again? On you? It's tough, isn't it? You know, when you think that your friends are there to stick with you right through thick and through thin. And they've been friends with you for years and then all of a sudden, boom! It's like being slapped in the face. Let me tell you this. Jesus said, He will never leave you.
Amen.
He will never forsake you.
Amen.
He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
I will never leave you. I will never forsake you.
Amen.
I'll tell you something. There are times when it feels like He's left me. That I have had experiences when it felt like He's left me. But guess what? It was me that left Him.
Yeah.
And then you realise, whoa, it's why I'm feeling like I'm feeling. It's because I left Him. He never left me.
Amen.
Because He made a promise.
Yes.
And Jesus, as the Bible says, and I think we've had it quoted, Jesus is not a man that He should lie.
Yeah.
Jesus never lied to nobody.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I've come to set the captives free.
Woo.
I've come to give you life and
Woo.
To give you more abundantly.
Yeah.
And this is what Jesus has come to do for you and for me. And, you know, every one of us could have been in a poor state. Every one of us could have suffered. Each and every one of us at some stage could have been either on drugs and alcohol, homeless.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, none of us are exempt from these things.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about you, but my dad used to say to me, get yourself an apprenticeship, get a trade behind you, and you'll always have a job. Not right, Philip. Your dad told you the same, didn't he?
Yeah.
So I became an engineer. Became a pattern maker. Worked in the iron and steel trade. Got a job forever, haven't I?
No.
Well, that's what I was told. That's what I was told. That's what my dad told me. He wanted me to become a draftsman and what have you. You'll have a job forever. Where's the steel industry in our country today? Gone to India, China, Japan, or where, you know, it's gone somewhere else, hasn't it? Well, I don't want to live in China, India, or anywhere else like that. But that's where my job's gone. See? Things change. But guess what? The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will not change.
Amen.
And He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always.
Yes.
And that's what God wants to do. God wants you to realise that He's on your side. God wants you to realise He's for you, not against you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a plus. But do you know something? I read something else today about this plus sign. You know the Scottish flag?
Oh, yeah.
What colour is it? It's blue. Blue background with what? A white cross. And it's in that direction like that. So instead of it being a plus sign, it multiplies. And God will give to you when you put Jesus first in your life. When Jesus becomes Lord of your life, suddenly you'll find that He starts giving into your life, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will God give to you. God begins to be a multiplication. You know, when God created the earth, He said, He spoke over the earth and He spoke to the sea and to the fish in it. He said, be fruitful and
multiply.
Didn't say plus, He said multiply. I'm not knocking what Zena said. She's right. Because the cross is a plus sign. But God then wants to move it on to another level. God wants to multiply it. And what God has given to you, God wants to multiply.
Yeah.
And each and every one of us, whether you know Jesus or not now in your life, there is something in you that needs a part of God. There's a void in you that needs God. And when God fills that void, suddenly you'll start to see things multiply.
Amen.
Now, it won't change overnight. I'm not saying that. Because there is a process that starts in you and me as individuals. I'm on a road. God's not finished with me yet.
Amen.
But do you know something? God looks at me the moment I made Jesus Lord of my life. He said, you're perfect.
Yes, that's
right. That's not what my mother said. It's not what my dad said. But God said, my Heavenly Father said, you're perfect. And then that begins to be the target, the goal that you begin to go for. Because okay. God has already said what you're going to be. God has already said what you're going to be like and what you're going to do. I want to read a verse of scripture for you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, through difficulties, I will be with you. They shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour.
Yes.
I have loved you. Therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bring your descendants from the east. God is with you. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. He is always with you. Just realize that God is looking out for you day by day. And it's about giving your life, surrendering your life to Him. And that as we celebrate this Palm Sunday, as Jesus is coming into the city of Jerusalem, let Jesus come into your heart and life today.
Amen.
And let there be a celebration that goes on, not in Jerusalem, but in heaven.
Yes, yeah.
And let God become the Lord of your life. Make Him your Lord and Saviour.
Yes.
And let the dimensions of your life start changing. For the glory of God.
Yes, yes,
amen.
Yes.
And if you want to talk to us afterwards, feel free to come and talk to us. Talk to any of us. We'll talk to you about giving your heart and life to Jesus. It is so important. It will change your destiny. It will change your future.
It will.
It will change the way that things are going for you.
Yes.
John knows. John, you've heard John tell his story so many times. How God came into his life. If Jesus weren't in his life now, he'd be dead.
Yeah.
He'd be buried.
Yeah.
Bill over in that corner over there.
Sure.
If God hadn't come into his life a few years ago, he'd be in a wooden box. Because the prognosis from the hospital is he should be dead by now. Or at the best, on a kidney support machine. He's nowhere near it because he's seen the power of God year by year improving his health. We have a Jesus who is a healing Jesus. We have a Jesus who wants to set the captives free. Amen.